so-called yogis, swamis, and incarnations and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys, who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. Purport. Sometimes a foolish person becomes disgusted with bad association and comes to the association of devotees and brahmanas and takes initiation from a spiritual master. As advised by the spiritual master, he tries to follow the regulative principles, but Jai Sri Sri Dhana Madana Mohana Ki Jai. So he tries to follow the regulative principles, but due to misfortune he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He therefore gives up the company of devotees and goes to associate with simian people who are simply interested in sex and intoxication. Simian people are monkey-like people. Those who are so-called spiritualists are compared to monkeys. Outwardly, monkeys sometimes resemble sadhus because they live naked in the forest and pick fruits. But their only desire is to keep many female monkeys and enjoy sex life. Sometimes so-called spiritualists seeking a spiritual life come to associate with Krishna-conscious devotees, but they cannot execute the regulative principles or follow the path of spiritual life. Consequently, they leave the association of devotees and go to associate with sense gratifiers, who are compared to monkeys. Again, they revive their sex and intoxication, and looking at one another's faces, they are thus satisfied. In this way, they pass their lives up to the point of death. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Darasati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Vaskatyari Zatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Garada Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sri Ranjit Prabhu, can you find me 1533? So this is this verse has to be repeated again. It is so significant. Te ervanchito hang sakulang samavishan aro chayan shilam upaiti vanaran tachjati rasina sunir vitendriya parasparot vikshana vismita vadbi. Translation. Being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogis, swamis, and incarnations and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up the company and again returns to the association of monkeys, who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. one of the Puranas, the living entity in the material world, is compared to a log of wood which is carried away by the waves of a very powerful stream. If you go to Austria, into the, for instance, into the Zillertal, you can find such streams. At a time like autumn, these streams are filled with water due to the rain, and they are very violent. And on this, with these streams come trees from up in the mountain, and they are pushed down the river. Sometimes they hit on stones and get quite just dismantled. And then finally, somewhere, these logs of wood become splashed onto an island. And at that moment, of course, the travel of the log stops. He comes to peace at the island. This is the example for the conditioned soul in this material world, who is pushed about by the powerful streams of the material energy, by the Kala Shakti, the time energy. And only by coming in contact with the association, the august assembly of Vaishnavas, he can come to peace. His journey stops then and there. I remember there was one devotee who was engaged in making a film with Jimi Hendrix, who was a pop musician. He was filming that Rainbow Bridge, and in the midst of the film, work on the film, he met Vaishnavas who were there distributing prasadam during the occasion of the festival. And he attended the Sunday program, and after he had attended the Sunday program, he thought, why go back into Maya? This is very convincing, Krishna consciousness. It's something I was looking for since a long, long time. And he stayed in the temple. Jimmy was phoning, hey man, what's about my movie? But this log of wood had been splashed onto the island. But that was all to it. So Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that if we come into the association of devotees, we will engage in activities which are free from the current of the material energy. However, as we all know, there is an internal current, an internal river, which we also have to stop. That river, if you take it as an external river, the material life, and as the internal river you can put the desires. It is our desires ultimately which are the river on which we are driving. In other words, if we just come with our body into the temple and not with our desires, we might, this example might not pertain to us. It is described here in this shloka that due to misfortune, someone who comes into the association of Vaishnavas gives their company, forsakes their company, and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. This we have seen. It is not simply enough if someone just joins the desire. Something, the desire has to change. Our Krishna consciousness movement is a desire change movement. Instead of desiring our sense gratification, we can, or we have to shift our desire on pleasing the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and freeing ourselves from our materialistic understanding. Once I was asking Harinamananda Prabhu how it is possible to distribute so many pieces of literature. How is it possible? This is some magic. You are doing some magical activities before you go on the street or what? So Harinamana, no, he said. He told me at least, maybe he has different answers, but the one I found very, very nice is, you have to forget yourself. And to forget yourself means you have to forget your, first of all, your false identification, and then you have to also give up your false desires, which have to do with your false identification. This is the art of Krishna consciousness. To bring our desires into the stream of our desires into another direction, instead for our own aggrandizement, we should put the desire into the direction of Krishna satisfaction. Hare Krishna. This is expressed Sarvapati Vinirmukvang Tat Paradvena Nirmalam Hrishikesha Hrishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Sarvapati Upadis. You have to be free from the Upadis. That means, what do you think you are? The person you think you are, and then you have to engage Hrishikenam, the senses in the service of the master of the senses. This is called bhakti by Narada Muni. So we can see someone who just brings himself into the association of the Vaishnavas and there becomes a prasadam fan. This personality, if he doesn't change his desires, might go back into the forest of the material life to jump like a monkey from tree to tree. This example has been given. A monkey is a very good jumper. Shup, shup, shup. And in between the jumps, he has sex life. A person in the material world who is engaging his body with this kind of pleasure, he will jump from not from one tree to the next, but from the example is from one body to the next. The body sometimes is compared to a tree. There are different analogy. It's very, it is, this body is like a tree. So the desires have to change. Otherwise, it will be very, very difficult. Our main direction of desire in the material world has of course been explained very nicely in the fifth canto. Pungsastriya mituni bhavam etam tayor mito vidaya grantim ahu ato griya chetra sutapta vidhai janasya mohoyam hamameti. I want to read the translation to you. The attraction between man and woman. This is Prabhupada says, woman like woman. The attraction between man and woman is thus is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, the hearts of man and woman are tied together, and as a result of that, not in the heart, one becomes attracted to home sweet home, possession, children, relatives, and riches. In this way, one increases the illusion of life, and the whole thinking process turns around I and mine. This is what happens to someone who leaves the association of transcendentalists. he is bound to become attracted. And the most ferocious attraction is the attraction to the opposite sex. In this attraction, his whole thinking process will be sucked into the small, tiny world of I and mine, the teensy, weeny, ant-like universe of the materialist. So, we have, as transcendentalists, we have to guard against this great attraction. Now, in order to illustrate this important point, we would like to give you a story which was told by Sriman Atmatattva Prabhu. It is the story of one great devotee called Vipra Narayan, who was doing as his service for Krishna gardening. He was breeding or cultivating flowers which were used in the service of the Lord. He was so much absorbed in picking those flowers that he did not see anything else than the flowers. Sometimes he picked the flowers, and in between the flowers he saw a dangerous, that's not an English word, he saw a very dangerous snake, but he looked at it and said, no flower, went to the next flower. No flower. He was so much absorbed in his service. One day, Devadasi passed his little garden. Devadasi was a royal prostitute before whose house many kings would stand in line holding their crown underneath the arm, just like policemen. When the policemen in Germany are doing something unofficial, they take the hat and hide the hat. So in the same way, the kings were hiding their crowns in order to spend a few moments with her. So she came in her most attractive outfit because she was seeing the king of the country, and passed the garden together with her sister. And at that moment, she saw Vipra Narayan, who was picking flowers. So she said, well, let me go closer, let me see who this is. And then Vipra Narayan did the same thing. He took a flower, looked at her, oh, no flower. And took then another flower and collected other flowers. And this is the worst thing you can do to a Maya Devi. Just ignore her. This is very bad. It's very bad. Or pass air or do something uncivilized. That is very bad. She was so disturbed. She said, this is too much. Well, said his sister, this is Vipra Narayan, a great bhakta. He's not interested in womanly beauty. Don't get agitated. He's not interested in my beauty. This is not impossible. This is impossible. I have seen so many saints. I will personally take care that after 9 days, this Vipra Narayan will become mad, but not for Krishna. He will become mad for me. He will pluck his hair in agony. He will not chant the name of Ranganath. He will chant Deva Devi, Deva Devi, Deva Devi. I will spoil this person and show the potencies of my arrows. Then she went home, learned a few shlokas, which were composed by Vipra Narayan, dressed herself up like an ascetic, put the hair in twists and turns up like a punky, and then went to Vipra Narayan and stood before his garden with a veena and sang these wonderful prabandhas, these shlokas, ling, 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 and chanted in Sanskrit. So Vipra Narayan heard this, oh, very interesting, what a saintly person, pick flowers. For 2 days she made her sound vibration. Then Vipra Narayan said, "Oh, you, what are you doing? Oh, I'm here just chanting in your association." So one day, as she was singing, let me see to get this right. Yes, one day the rain came, monsoon, some heavy rain, and she became all wet. But she was singing. So we were on the Narayan thought, well, this is something extraordinary. She is maybe a greater personality than I myself. What am I doing in this house? She is my guest. And she said, "Come on, whoever you are, saintly one, sit down in my house, you can sing here." "I will go into the rain." So Vipra and I stood in the rain and she was singing ring, 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 ring. After some time the singing stopped. So he went in and said, Why are you not singing? "My clothes are wet and I get an infection. I need dry clothes." "Oh," said Vipra Narayan, "I'm sorry, I have only this one cloth. It's all what I possess. Can't give you fresh cloth. Oh, but then I will become completely wet. And then I will have fever," and so on and so forth. So finally he agreed to give her his cloth. Now it starts, huh? And took her wet cloth. So then she sang again, but after some time she cried, "Boo, boo!" So again Vipra Narayan was forced to come. "What is the matter?" "The following is the matter. I am by profession actually a prostitute, but not by my desire. It is my mother who always puts me on the street. I want to become a saint. I want to associate with you only." Oh, said Vipra Narayan, I'm getting a little extreme now. "Yes," said the Deva Devi, "and tomorrow my mother will come and get me, and then I have to become again the slaves of sinful men." "Oh," said Vipra. "So what to do?" said Vipra Narayan. "Simple point, you just marry me on the spot, and then you are my lord and master." Said Vipra Narayan, "Maybe I should marry her, because after all she is such a saint, she has such a tapasvini, sings my songs, and I can do much more service with her, double service, and then another point is, at least I can save one soul. I'm not such a great preacher. I can at least save one soul." So in his heart he was of course very attracted to her. This was what had happened. Steady water wears away the stone. You might have heard this. It's a Kami verse. So the marriage was done, some fast thing, some ascetic thing, and then she left him. She ran away and left him. And he became just like Deva Devi had foretold. He became mad and he said, "Deva Devi, where are you? Why have you gone? What have I done wrong? How will you come back to me alone? Why, Lord, are you so that you give me this wonderful piece of art and then take it away?" He was crying and couldn't concentrate on his sadhana, only Deva Devi, Deva Devi, Deva Devi, so on and so forth. He went home to her, "Come," but she chased him away. "You fool, you nonsense." So and she became very cruel and he was finished. So that time the Lord Ranganath decided, because after all this was all his leela, he was as a rage the whole thing, with his devotee. He decided to take on the form of one Brahmana called Sundararaj, the king of beauty, and went to the house. And the Sundararaj took one of 5 gold pots which were used in the offering to Ranganath. Very valuable pot. And he went to the house of Deva Devi and said, "Here, this is a present of your lonesome lover. It is the golden pot. Please take it." So the mother saw it and became very greedy. "Wow, Vipranarayana has such a gold pot. Where there is one gold pot, there are others also. So you call him Deva Devi? Don't be cruel. He is a good husband after all. Very rich and befitting. I want to have such a son-in-law." So Vipranarayan was phoned, well, not phoned, he was called. "Come," and he came and he was all, "My Deva Devi, why have you done this? My heart is bleeding from 10,000 shots." I don't know the exact words, but something like that. The servants in the house, they had seen the gold pot and they recognized it as the gold pot of Ranganath. So when the temple servants noticed the theft, they had informed the police, and the police was looking for this pot. So the servants went out and said to the police, "Here, the thief is here, Vipranarayan, the so-called saint who has become mad with sexual desires for Deva Devi. He has stolen the pot of the Lord to pay his sinning. So the police went in and got Vipranarayan, "You come with us, you fool. What have you done in this pot? It is the Lord's pot." And they brought the pot out. So now he was in trouble. He was, in legal trouble. The other trouble was bigger than legal trouble. So he was brought before the court, and the king was there to judge the case. And he heard Deva Devi's standpoint. Everything went like the plan was. She was very happy. She had attained her goal. "Yes, yes, yes, he is crazy. He is not a saint. He is a sinner. You punish him severely. He is just after me. That's all. Protect me." King said, "This is too much. I know that Vipranarayan is a great devotee. Here's something strange happening." So in the night, he had a dream. And in this dream, the Lord, whose name is Ranganath, came and said and told him the whole thing. "I have made it like this. I have arranged it like this. You, Vipranarayan, is a great devotee and he has not stolen anything. It was me alone who, in order to perform my leela, to do this." "Oh," says the king, "your leela is inconceivable to me, my lord." So next morning, he said, "I don't know what happened. I can say so much, Vipranarayan is not guilty. That's all." And then he revealed the story, and he said, "Well, I don't know really, this is a leela of the lord. So let Vipranarayan free, but this Deva Devi, she cannot stay in my kingdom any longer. She is bringing men into the traps of illusion. Therefore, she must leave the kingdom." Deva Devi went out of the kingdom, and when she was out, by that association with the great devotee Vipranarayan, he's actually a pure devotee, Alva devotee. Somehow there was a seed in her heart, some seed was laid in her heart. So she shaved up, took on the dress of an ascetic, and with tears in her eyes went to Vipranarayan, "Please forgive me, please forgive me. What have I done? I'm so sorry." Vipranarayan said, "That may be, and you may be, you just chant the holy name and engage yourself in bhakti, but not in my garden. And do not ever bring devotees into a such situation. He, you know, his illusion, so to say, which was arranged by the Lord, was there. So this story, it is a very nice story because it gives us this warning. Prabhus, matas, guests, friends, sympathizers and doubters. Here's a warning. When you come to a spiritual life, Maya will try anything and everything. She will take any guise, any dress in order to allure you. And especially this pungsastriya, this heart not within the heart, which binds together the heart of men and women, is very strong. So therefore in the assembly of Vaishnavas, our intention is to bring down this fire or to cut this knot of material existence by all means. Now the best thing to do it is to be engaged in the Lord's service and to transfer your desire on this transcendental service. Yesterday I was, we were all looking at the slideshow, and we saw how Harinamananda Prabhu and Navina Nidada were distributing books like anything. And when you distribute books like this, you cannot just distribute books to men, isn't it? You distribute to women, to everyone. Yeah. To the spirit soul, actually, one distributes. In order to be strong on Sankirtan like this, be strong in our service, we have to obtain a spiritual vision so that we can transcend the dualities of attractive men and attractive women in this world. Now, we have to desire Krishna. This is actually our... Do you know how the word Krishna consciousness came? The movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada took this word from a Sanskrit word, Krishna Bhava, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. Let me just read the shloka to you because it is a very important thing. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yadikoto Pilabhyate Tataloyam Apimulyam Ekalam Janmakoti Sukritaye Nalapyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness can not even be attained if one acts piously for hundreds and thousands of years, or of lives, not years, lives. Pure devotional service can only be attained if one is ready to pay one price. What is that price? This is strong greed. Strong greed to become Krishna consciousness. If it is available, this greed, one must, this Krishna consciousness, one must immediately buy it. So this is what we want. We want to transform our desire process. We want to put it on Krishna's transcendental form, Krishna's service, Krishna's devotees, and so on and so forth. We in Germany, our German Sankirtan results went down, as you have heard. Even Poland were beating us, and this has, of course, many reasons, but there are some reasons which I have heard, and I think we are in the family, so I can tell it. Why not? It fits in the lecture. It is in Germany, people tend, when the summer comes, they tend to give up their human decency. In every one of our Namhatis, he went to become the master of a swimming pool, big swimming pool in Germany, not master, you know, the one who stands there and who jumps to save people who suffer from heart attacks in the water or such things. So after one day he went and he said, he came back and he said, no, Satchinanda Swami, I'm not going to do this. I know we need money in our Namhata center, but no, I'm not going to go do this. I'm stopping. I want to be free from agitation. No woman who is advanced is dressing nowadays in the swimming pool. Not advanced in Krishna consciousness, obviously, who is advanced according to modern esteems. So this is an important thing. In order to be free from this material attachment, which makes our world so small and which takes care that we cannot really surrender to Krishna, we have to transfer our desires to Krishna. And this is so nice when we see the Sangatan devotees. I mean, I was so impressed by yesterday's days, when the results were read and when Rohini Sutta had shown his Sangatan slideshow. You could see Rohini Sutta Prabhu is just like someone who walked out of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, very natural devotee, singing, dancing, eating prasadam and distributing books and reading and so on. It's such a nice life, such a big world. Someone who is carefree, who is on the spiritual platform, who has no material desires, he can go everywhere he wants and feel happy and blissful in Krishna consciousness. He has no interest and therefore he cannot be hurt. See, the more interests you have, the more you desire your own glorification, the more you desire your own work, your own house, your own money, your own this and that, the easier it is to become disturbed. Because in this world, we are not the controllers. Things happen differently than we want them to happen. So real freedom is freedom from desires, Chinmuta. Real freedom is freedom from desires. It is a very important point. So in Krishna consciousness, our desires are fixed on Krishna by the simple purification process of chanting and reading and associating with Vaishnavas. There are two ways to renounce the material world. One is through the fire of frustration and the other is through the fire of knowledge. Once there was a Brahmana called the Avanti Brahmana who was very miserly. And as a result, he was hated by his family until finally all his riches were stolen away. So he left his home and said, this is enough. I'm going to take sannyas. But he was not really over with it. He took sannyas, he gave up everything when he was so frustrated when everyone had left him and he had no money whatsoever. But then all the reactions came. People were not liking him. They were not approving of his step. They spit on his freshly shaven head. One day he sat down. He had begged the whole day to get a meal. And then when he sat down, some cruel person came and urinated on his meal. He was just going to eat it. Imagine someone is doing this to you after fasting for one day. You get mad. Sometimes his danda was stolen. His clothes were stolen. He was treated so bad. But he said, Ethang sasthaya bharatva nishtam. He chanted this one particular shloka. Adhistanam pūv. Vataya Mahadviya Aham Tarishyami Durantaparam Tamo Mukundangri Nisheva Jaiva. That now I fix myself on the Super Soul, and by serving, putting my mind on into the service, Nisheva Jaiva, of Mukunda. I will cross the ocean of material existence. This was, is not my own concoction, he said. This was approved by Mahatbi. That means the previous acharyas. So this is one process. One is so frustrated. And I think many of us who are here, at one time or another, they thought, this is too much. This material life is too much. I'm becoming a brahmachari. And one bhakta told me a story. It's a very good-looking bhakta, according to modern estimation. So, a very powerful person. He told me that he went into one discotheque, when he had his moments of doubt and fear, when he was a little weak. And he just, not as a bhakta, before he joined. Then there were so much lusty activities going on, and someone was trying to get him, that he just ran out the discotheque and said, "It's enough, I'm going to be..." This is, someone was really attacking him, some lady. And this is enough, I'm going to take the brahmachari life. This is called frustration. So this is one point. The fire of frost, as we say in Germany, German language. Das Feuer des Forsts. So, then another fire is the Jnanagni. Jnana means knowledge and Agni means fire. The fire of knowledge. And this fire we have to ignite in our Krishna conscious life. See, if we just here because of we have some good analysis about the material world, this is not enough. Fire of knowledge, and then fire of bhakti must come. As we hear in Bhagavad, in Brahma Sanghita, Yastvinda Gopama Ravindra Maho Svakarma, I was quoting this verse already a couple of days ago, and you all know this. It is burning away that fire of devotional service, all our karmic seeds, so that we can really become free. It's not enough to make an external change because of frustration. We have to burn up by the process of devotional service our Krishna conscious life, our material life. So to end my lecture, I want to explain a little scientific, because we might have some doubters here, some guests who are new to Krishna consciousness, why we stress so much on reading our books, why we stress so much the fire of knowledge. As you are well aware, we live in a time where people say, the enlightened people, no books, I don't need any books. Isn't it, Navina? Sometimes these young people, they say, no, reading is Maya. I have to feel it. Isn't it? You answer me. Have to feel it. No books. This is all mental to read. So this we want to explain a little by giving a nice example. By telling you, first of all, I want to make the point that any knowledge carries an information. For instance, I'm giving you now some knowledge which will carry an information which you most probably do not know. At around 11 o'clock, Avinash Chandra Prabhu will give a lecture on the Vaishnava Acharyas, and he will also show a film. It will take place in the temple. So here was some information which you most probably didn't have before. This is what I said, carried in information. On this information, you can now act. You can experience something which you would not experience without the information, right? Very easy. So, transcendental knowledge also carries informations. However, it carries also something else. In the beginning of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that by hearing transcendental information, you get the strength to act. See, mundane knowledge or mundane information do not really give you the strength to act. Just like someone knows smoking is not good, but is still a chain smoker. spiritual knowledge gives you the strength to act and find your ultimate goal. So I want to give you an example, because this is very important. Suppose I'm living in the third floor of one apartment building in Munich. And I'm giving you directions how to come to me. I'm giving you a city plan, and I have marked on the city plan the streets. Now go Schleißheimerstraße, then go Clemensstraße, and then you will arrive at Kurtstraße or something. So I'm giving you all this information. So suppose further, you are a person who only knows two dimensions. This is this plane. You do not know what is the meaning of heights. So I have given you all the information, but because you do not know how to move upwards, you only know length and breadth, you cannot find me in my third story. Third story or second story, we said? Third, yes. Third story. Because you will not know how to get to me. Do you understand this example? If you only know two dimensions, I had read very, very much, because it was so dry. So here's the answer. And please try this answer for yourself, and at least it helped me very much in my devotional life. You have to digest the knowledge. If you just eat something, eat, and you have no power to digest it, then that food becomes a disturbance after some time. You have to vomit or go to the private place. You know, it is. It becomes a disturbance. So you have to digest it. It has to be. Man sagt dazu, man says Metamorphose. No. Metabolismus, danke. Metabolismus. It has to be. In Deutsch, es muss aufgenommen werden von dem System. It has to be accepted by the system, the bodily system. Then food can help you. In the same way, transcendental knowledge has to be acted upon. In other words, you get an instruction, you hear something, and you act according to it. And then you will see how it is accepted by your system. And how transcendental knowledge becomes your best friend in times of need, when you are attached or when you are attracted to Maya. This friend tells you Paragyan, higher knowledge. His name is Paragyan. That means higher knowledge, right? Transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge. Don't become a fool. I'm, as your friend, are speaking to you. So this is very important. Take those verses, take those sections from the literature which help you. Meditate about them. Think about them while you do your service. And then you will see how this knowledge is no longer just letters thrown in onto white pages, but they become friends talking to you in times of need. For instance, when you are sick, or like we had two of our devotees had a terrible accident. So there is a verse, Tatenu Kampam Susumik Shamana, my Lord. It goes like this. One who understands that the sufferings he is experiencing are there because of his past misdeeds, but who still continues to offer his obeisances with his heart, his words, and his body, he becomes the rightful claimant for Krishna consciousness. So I was laying in the hospital, and I couldn't move. I had here artificial nourishment, there artificial nourishment. My belly became bigger and bigger, like a pregnant woman, because some blood was there. Dr. Meyer has visited me and given me solace in this time. I was always thinking about this verse, because Prabhupada said one should meditate about this verse. when one is suffering. And it helped me so much. I said, yeah, I was a big rascal. But still, my Lord, now I can't do anything. Now I will just go with my mind to India, pick and jump into a lotus pond, and then cut all the lotus flowers and offer them to you. This was one of my devotional services which I did. Because there it said, one should offer with his mind and with his words. So one can do. On the mind, no limitation is there. So it helps you like anything. But if you just study, oh, I have to do... study with the goal to find jewels or to find friends who will help you in your devotional service. And then your study is an adventure, a life-giving adventure. This is my tip. I'm not sure if I will answer this, because I may not understand it so good. As a new devotee, we can just hear from the lectures, and it is like when one hears the lecture in an attentive spirit, one can think of one point one has heard. This was good. You know, and after some time, one has more and more points. Let me also read now. I will also want to know more. This is how it started with me. I had Prabhupada lectures and liked them, and liked a few points. I did, you know, whatever I could. It was not much, whatever little I could understand. And later I thought, well, Prabhupada, every time he knows so much, let me also read the books. So it starts from Shravanam. Navina Nirada. Hare Krishna. Yeah. I love peace, I do. I think I will repeat this in Deutsch, because the translator has not heard. Manchmal sagen Leute, ich habe so viele Bücher gelesen, jetzt weiß ich, dass ich Seele bin, bin davon völlig überzeugt, Herr ist im Herzen, das ganze Wissen ist schon da, wozu jetzt lesen? Ich, das muss hier wieder erweckt werden. Nicht? Das ist die Hauptarbeit, um die es jetzt geht. So, please let me, now you are some, I will now take you as someone who has put this question. Yes? Not as Navina Nirada. I would first of all flatter you. Oh, how nice you have said. There are so little people who understand this. That the Lord is within the heart, that the knowledge is within the heart. Most people think it's just a pumping, that thing, the first thing. Then he feels well and he will listen to you. Because one thing when you preach, if there are people, you can't immediately argue with them. Because then they will just fight. Who is the winner? That's the not what is truth. Who is the winner? That's their perspective. So, second thing is, also Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, I am situated in the heart of everyone, and from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Second point. However, now it comes. Now the new education starts with the person. Now I want to say something which he may not yet know. In that particular section of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give them the knowledge by which they come to me. He also says, he does this when someone is engaging in devotional service. Those who are constantly engaged in my devotional service, I give them the knowledge to which they come to me. In other words, you want spiritual knowledge, you want to have Krishna, you want to have Krishna conscious realizations. The Lord will give you this, or it will manifest if you do the right activities. So the scriptures, in the scriptures, the same Lord who wants to speak to you in the heart tells you what are those activities. And I think then it's that. Now this was a religious person, but mostly the people who ask this question, they have a different approach. There's nothing with the Lord. No Lord is there. Yeah, Mayavadi. It is all there. I just want to feel it. Like Shanti, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Then I would say, my dear such and such, this is very good. The knowledge is there. This is the Mayavadi answer now for the Mayavadis. However, your mind is also there. And your mind is filled with so many impressions. You are, therefore, in order to revive your spiritual fire, so to say, to light this fire of knowledge which is there, to make it bigger, you have to have a process. Otherwise, it is not, otherwise you will have to follow your mind. And that's what they accept. They know, oh, the mind is bad. Somehow they have accepted this. So in order to become free from your mind and know what is you and what is your mind, you have to apply a process. Just like if you want to know what is water and what is cheese in the milk, you have to put some lemon, and then by putting this lemon, the cheese comes. And you see the water. Prabhupada gives this example in the second canto, that to understand the soul within the body, we have to apply a process. This you have to learn. And then they will say, no process. Then I say, my dear person, if you now we are not enlightened. We want to become enlightened. We can be compared with a sick person. Now, imagine you have a brain tumor. Then to get cured, no process? You will just go to me with my big knife and say, open my skull and cut a little in my brain substance, and then the brain, then my tumor will be alright. You won't do this. Or when you are in the airplane flying somewhere, there is a process how to shift. For everything there is a process. You say you want to go back to Godhead without a process, you live in a fool's paradise. And then one can get heavy, like Hridayananda Maharaj. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But due to misfortune, this applies to someone who has come into the association of real devotees, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. This misfortune, let us see what is the Sanskrit word. Vanchita, being cheated. Hamsa kulam vyasasi paramahamsa samavisham contacting arocha. Yes, misfortune means, here the word vanchita is there. He's cheated by his mind. This is misfortunate or unfortunate. It is. I know what you are applying to. Is it that there is that there is a driving force, like a misfortune, which drives someone out of Krishna consciousness, and he can't really do anything against it. No. Everyone who stays in the movement for Krishna consciousness and purifies his desires can come to Krishna. However, if he gets vanchita, cheated, again by material desires, very bad. Therefore, Lord Rishabdi said, a transcendentalist understands that his mind is like a bird, and when he has finally put the mind into a cage, yes, he doesn't trust the bird. He never leaves the door open of the cage. Oh, it will stay there, it is a good intentioned bird, the bird likes me, you know. In the same way, a transcendentalist should not trust his mind. If, as soon as you do that, you can become misfortunate because your mind is your enemy and it is not fixed on Krishna. And that is possible, that the mind is not fixed on Krishna. That is the greatest misfortune, that one leaves the association of devotees. And one reason for that is, yes, that one develops desires other than serving Krishna and doesn't check them because one thinks they are the mind. Yesterday we had a discussion and one said, sometimes the mind tells me, now sleep longer, it's healthy for you. You can do more service. Don't be a fanatic. Pennywise, pound foolish. The mind always wants to cheat. Of who? Let me marry. When I'm with the two, one, two, it's double force. Double force, double speed, back home, back to God. This is not true. It is not true because when we marry, it can mean that we get entangled and that we see more of the material world than we want to see. This is a connection on the bodily basis, and the body is made from material elements, so a lot of tigers are in that arrangement, yes, which we do not want. They are from the material world. Of course, I'm not speaking about the Grihastha ashram, where one lives in such a way that the tigers of lust, greed, and so on do not manifest. But I'm just saying how the mind sometimes cheats us. These are some examples. So, vanchita means misfortune. There's one explanation. It's not... Prabhupada said, I have created your fortune. You have heard this. So we are not misfortunate any longer. But we have to take Srila Prabhupada's gift and our own spiritual master's gift. Then nothing can carry you. If you go to the lotus feet of your spiritual master, what do you want? I also want to do that. Then we are... See, we are all misfortune, poor, cheated souls. We are misfortunate, isn't it? I mean, I feel so misfortunate. When you look at Prem Vilas, this Guruko boy, you know, from birth, he knows much more than I will ever know in my life already now. It's Prem Vilas. He can quote all the, he can just, you know, he can sit down and he can chant a whole Veda, no problem. unimaginable. He's a very humble devotee, but if you see him in action. So I feel so misfortunate. When I spoiled my life, I have this body, you know, which is the direct manifestation of sin, you know, and mind, so many bad habits, so on. So, therefore, I have to cling at the lotus feet of Prabhupada so that he can help me. But if we run away like Ulungita, what was the word? Ulungita? Some word. Or owls. And we close our eyes to all the mercy. then there will be the fortune. In other words, it's not chance. There is no unfair God who gives you a time bomb under your behind, you know. So after 3 years of Krishna consciousness, it explodes and you're waking up in Tivoli. Tivoli Park is where people go to enjoy in Copenhagen. It's still open? No. If you take shelter, then your misfortune will be destroyed. Yeah, how can we overtake the world in 2 days? Yes.
And the assembly teachers also always say that they ask Krishna, Krishna to always bring problems upon them so that they can, they will always remember Krishna like that. So in this way, like we see some great personalities in material world, like they create a situation that they want to set people through their philanthropical way.
Yes.
Take Nelson Mandela, for instance, in South Africa. He's trying, he said he doesn't want human discrimination, irrational human discrimination. And the people are suffering him. He said he wants freedom for the black, animalistic system. Then he's suffering, he's been in prison for so many years.
Yes.
They are questioning him, thinking like that.
Who was that man? What was his name?
Mandela.
Mandela. Mandela, richtig. Mandela, huh? Yeah.
So in this way, is it sentimental? If a devotee also stands in the way that he wants to spread God consciousness, and they quest him, yes, this body, they suffer the body like that, and he dies at the time of thinking of Krishna. Is it sentimental?
That he wants to go back home back to Godhead?
Like if he were to be a devotee.
Yes.
And he fights him purposely for that for Krishna.
Mandela, yes.
And they quest him purposely because he wants to spread Krishna consciousness, whereby also to understand themselves that they are sensitive to Krishna. And they give him like that. Would that be sentimental?
Mandela would have to accept a spiritual master who would bring him to Krishna consciousness and help him and then advise him. And it is well possible that see, we learn from history, Maharaj Parikshit, he was not a milk drinker, as they say in Germany. He drank milk, but what I want to say, ein Milchbubi. He was a Kshatriya, and he drove out Kali, and there were wars, and so on. Yes, it is possible. You should read you, Sony, because your questions are similar. You should read this book, Varnashram Manifest. There is a political dimension of Krishna consciousness. Not political dimension, it sounds not so good. How to apply Krishna consciousness in a society. There's a chapter how to do it. And there are a lot of practical answers. How to organize a government and the duties of a government. And one of the duties is, like Mandela would like to do, to, you know, spread right. But now Mandela has no spiritual knowledge. Mandela is like, see, there's a room and a patient suffering from cancer is there. So Mandela comes in and wants to help. So he shifts the bed from the shadow into the light. Did that help? No, because the cancer has to be cured. Shifting the bed of a cancer patient from left to right is not help. So bodily help is not really help. Soul help must be there. Brothers and sisters, soul help. Yeah, Gadatta.
Once asked, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was once asked by a professor if we don't worship idols.
Yes.
And he said that, no, but if you worship the form of the Lord and you have not the, you don't see the eternal, unlimited, such an Ananda form,
mm-hmm.
in this, then you worship idols. So, for example, do I worship idols?
No, because you have heard who is Krishna, and although you do not, and you have heard who are the deities, and although you do not see Krishna as much as a pure devotee does see, Krishna is accepting your service, and you will be purified whenever you dance before the deity. However, a materialist who goes before the deities makes offenses, you know, and then he is not making any advancement. For him, Krishna is like a stone. Just like in the days of Muslim oppression, the Muslims were running into the temple and breaking the deities, marble deities. But they hadn't broken Krishna. For them, Krishna was stone. So I think that is clear. Yeah? Loud.
Sometimes I met some people who had other gurus or saw the gurus, but these people are very much attracted to Krishna consciousness, chant also, and offer their food. How to reach to these people to get an experience?
Well, they have a pseudo guru for different reasons, and if you want to convert them, all I found, don't attack the guru, because they have some affection, something they are getting from him, or maybe it's just a bad karma that they went to the pseudo guru. So just give them positive understanding, discuss points of spiritual philosophy, and they will know, they will see, oh, this is much higher than what I have. We have a few devotees who were disciples of bogus gurus, and they heard the Krishna conscious understanding, then yes, so much higher. There's one mistake in preaching. It's argumentum ad persona. You say, oh, your guru smokes, your guru, what else? What else? We don't need to go into detail. No, you should preach the spiritual knowledge, and then they will know. I am a chain smoker. Who this is? He should go and make advertisement for a cigarette, but not for spiritual life. This devotee is Lulajit. That's a very nice name. Lulajit is the name of Krishna, is that right? It sounds like a bridge bus. Yes, please, Lulajit.
Yes.
Lulajit.
So, it said that one doesn't lose any of his devotion service, they have a family life.
Yes.
Then also, if one doesn't push forward, then one will go back and fall back into his material attachment.
If one does not lose his devotional service, means the spiritual advancement one has attained by devotional service, then why is it said that if one does not advance in Krishna consciousness, one goes back to the material life? Like that?
If one doesn't push forward.
Doesn't push forward. The question is clear? Yes. No, middle. Only the trees were answering. Krishna conscious advancement is eternal. Whatever you do will accompany you for the rest of your material existence. But it is sometimes manifest and not manifest. If you push on your devotional service, you will take care that your Krishna consciousness is always manifest, because you desire that. To push on means to desire. To become a lazy person means to stop desiring. And then this is covered. I once asked a devotee, like this. It is said that anyone who takes a bath in the Ganga at Gopunima time in Shida Mayapur will go back home, back to Godhead. Does this mean I can now become a Kami again? No, amongst devotees we are discussing, so we can discuss. No, he said. Then that is not meant like this, that you can do anything you want after Gopunim bath. You have to push on with your Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you will cover your spiritual advancement. But that advancement, that bath in the Ganga, will always stay with you. Is that clear? Yeah. We kill our Krishna conscious life by offenses towards devotees. So I would suggest that since we are now having lectured a long time and our program is still so full that we end here our class for the. I do not know how long you will stay with us, but you are very much, how can I say, I do not know what is your schedule after this. Many of you might leave us, right? But those who stay, we will have our seminars today and also tomorrow. These are for the guests, maybe not so much for the devotees. You are invited to take part. Thank you very much.